Renee James, the vice president and general manager for Software and Solutions Group with Intel, gave the first ever software keynote at an Intel developer forum on the final day of the fall event in San Francisco. Her talk was mostly news you can use for the audience of software developers. She spoke to the crowd about how they can work with Intel to implement the company's next wave of technology.
Today, I'm going to discuss how you as developers, whether it be software or hardware in between, can get engaged with these different platform initiatives. We've changed in the last year and a half significantly our approach, our philosophy, and the tools and contributions that we're making available to the developer community. And I'm going to go through that in some detail. But before I get into the changes, I want to tell you the one thing that hasn't changed. And that's our strategy or our objective, our goal for software at Intel. It's always been the same. Port of choice. And what that means to us is that all the software cross-platform in all the different communities or different usages runs best on Intel architecture. Period, full stop. It's as simple as that. My entire team, many of whom I can see in here today, who've been doing sessions for you in the last couple of days, is dedicated to making that come true. So we'll talk about how we're going to do that and how we would like you to get engaged with us as we go forward. So the first thing we have to talk about is what's changed. So what caused Intel to consider that we might want to take a different approach? And what we looked at, and I think the best proxy that we could use for what's going on in the developer community, and this is individual developers as well as companies, is where are developers coming from in the future? I want to kind of compare and contrast what Intel used to do with where we're going. In the past, and I don't think I need to tell a lot of the IDFers this, but we used to design the hardware and put out a spec, and then we'd work with you through sessions and or applications engineering to get either your hardware or software or what have you, the system design to work with it. And it was very much Intel information on Intel's time. What we've seen is that that's not how the community or how developers want to really work with technology in the future, or work with Intel for that matter. And that's the feedback that we've really heard from you. People want to work in communities. And for the purposes of our presentation for the rest of the morning, I'm not going to define communities. I want to tell you what we think it is. It's a group of passionate people committed to innovation and breakthrough, which is why we're all here, equally motivated not only by community and collaboration, but by competition. So what we've moved to, and what I'll talk about for the rest of the morning in specific detail, is a open embracement of a collaborative approach of development. Our developer programs, our new initiatives are all very much embracing the concept of how you can give more engaged with Intel much earlier than ever before. We've revamped our entire approach. We have developed specific communities of interest, which I'm going to detail out, around each one of the technologies you've heard about from Pat and Dottie and Anand. And most importantly is the philosophical change in approach. We are contributing intellectual property, our tools, our people, our ideas, sample code, to really participating fully with developers going forward. And we think what this signifies is that Intel's moved to internet time and off of Intel time of development. So we revamped our site. You can get there from intel.com or inteldeveloper.com or intelsoftwarecommunity.com, any way you want. They all link together. It is an interactive site that's moved from a repository of information that you may or may not have ever used to an interactive site with over 500 blogs, lists, developer competitions, one of which I'm going to announce the winner of later, another upcoming treat. Contributions are listed there. Projects. We actually have developer and expert sessions that we host in Second Life. You'll see some of that in Justin's presentation later. And the response has been overwhelming. We did this less than a year ago, and we already have 65% more developers participating with Intel than we ever have had in the past. So today, I'm very excited about the next step that we're taking. We are announcing a new edition, which is called whatif.intel.com. In an unprecedented move in the history of Intel, we are putting up what is very much like Google Labs or an AlphaWorks site where we will share our early ideas, our alpha code, thoughts, lab projects with the development community, get your feedback, allow you to interact with us on where we're going. We've posted 3 of our first projects up there, so we're ready to go. One of them is some thoughts we have about our performance tools that wouldn't even come out till 2009, but we've put it up there and are wanting to get feedback on that. And we look forward to doing more of that. And most importantly, what we're hoping with this site is that we can get more engagement with you and hear more from you about what you'd like to be seeing from Intel in the area of developer support. I can see you way back there, developers. All right, so one community that we've been engaged with for a long time, and this is not new, is the research community. And some of you are here today. I understand that we have several universities that were invited. That's not new news. We have fantastic university relations, and we'll continue to go forward on all of that. What is new in the last year and a half is that we've taken an additional step and focused our efforts on curriculum development. Specifically, I'm going to use the example of parallel programming. One of the most profound changes coming to developers, and you've saw all our roadmaps for the last couple days, so you know I'm going to come back to this point because this is key to how we're going to use all of those cores in the future. We developed curriculum, specifically undergraduate curriculum, and we trained professors in over 400 universities to teach parallel programming. This is something that we're spreading. It's worldwide, from Shanghai, Jiaotong, to U.S. universities. We hope by the end of the year to have 1,000 universities joined up and teaching parallel programming. In addition to that, we have trainers that we'll send out, and we're working with training companies to really forward advance information about where Intel's roadmap is going and how developers can be ready and trained to interact with the technology that we're building. So, another community that is critical to how we develop and how software will be developed for Intel platforms going forward is the open source community. And Intel has become more of a key contributor to the open source community in the last couple of years than we have been in the past. Part of this is this change to being more open and having information more readily accessible. We've worked really hard in the last couple of months, I'll say 18 months, if you will, and a couple of years. And I think, in the words of Alan Cox, we can see some improvement. In 2001, Alan suggested that Intel was secretive and hard to work with. Today, he would say that our cooperation with the community has not only paid off to making us a platform of choice, but also we're much easier and much more open and collaborative in our activity. So that's it on kind of what we've done to revamp the overall program. And now what I'd like to do is talk about the technology initiatives you've heard about and how you can find more developer information about those. So specifically around mobile power, power in the data center and virtualization, as well as how we're going to use parallel programming and how that relates to visual computing, I'm going to go through some of our very specific initiatives. Yesterday you heard from Anand about MIDS, mobile internet devices. It's a new category. We're very excited about the opportunity here. One of the things that Anand talked about was the low power needs and the memory footprint needs and the requirements of full internet resources. And he demoed technology based on a community that we launched in July called Moblin.org. And I wanted to bring the community piece of it back up, one, to clarify that this is not a company. This is a community of interest that anyone can participate in around what we're doing on mobile internet devices. We donated the initial code and some of the samples and got the community going, but as you heard yesterday, Canonical and Red Flag and others are already engaged, and we expect more engagement from other companies going forward. And we think this is super exciting from the perspective of a new approach from the beginning, ground up, new category of products that Intel's starting, and a community working on it. So specifically, the 4 areas of interest in Moblin.org are, of course, information and technology sharing. That goes without saying. Most interesting, integration, and interoperability work, which is critical on these devices, tools contributions, which Intel will continue to make and others, and most importantly, the power management and memory work. So I encourage you, even if you're not interested, to just go check it out and get involved and see if this is something, if you're interested in MIDS, that you want to get part of the community and contribute and hear where we're going. Okay. Communities have a way of spawning other communities. And the team that's been working on Moblin.org got very excited about the power and performance breakthrough technology that they started to work on. And they came back and said, hey, we could do something in the data center very similarly. And out of that grew another idea. You heard from Paul and from Pat that energy consumption is a huge issue. And using U.S. data only from the EPA, data centers and servers are driving a significant increase in the use of energy consumption in the U.S., 2x in the last 6 years, and represents 1.5% of the total energy consumption in the United States today. This is a major environmental issue. We kicked off an initiative about it, and you heard about it earlier this week. It extends globally, of course. So one of the things that the developer team has been looking at is how could we create a community around these environmental issues and specifically to data center power management. And what I'd like to introduce is the newest community today called LessWatts.org. Less Watts is under the Climate Savers umbrella, an organization specifically focused on data center power management around Linux operating systems in the data center.
Wim Kokerts of Oracle joined James on stage for a demo on LessWatts.org, which Oracle and Red Hat support. After the demo, James moved on to virtualization.
I want to transition to talking a little bit about virtualization. Virtualization is a key technology. You heard from Pat about what we're doing with the community on virtualization. Our strategy is very similar, which is to be the port of choice and work with all of the different virtualization vendors. He showed a variety of different platforms in his presentation, but the one that he didn't show that is relevant to both data center power management as well as virtualization is the Microsoft platform. And I think it goes without saying to this audience that that is one of the largest developer communities in the world around Windows, and that we've had a very long and productive history, greater than 20 years, of working with Microsoft to bring innovations to market, both hardware and software. So today, I would like to have a special presentation from Microsoft about where they're going in power management with Windows Server 2008, and show us their new virtualization technology, codenamed Viridian. And to demonstrate this, I'm very excited to introduce the virtualization General Manager of Virtualization Strategy, Mike Neal, who we've worked with for a long time. And Mike's going to finally show us the fruit of all of our efforts.
Renee, great to see you.
Nice to see you,
Thank you,
Mike.
It's a real genuine
morning.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah,
thank you.
I'm happy to see the product that's going to almost launch.
It's great. Let me take you over and show you what we're doing.
Super.
So this is a machine running Windows Server 2008.
First, we should say server demo.
Yes, exactly. So this will be the sexy and exciting server demo that we all worked on. So this is a system running Windows Server 2008. This is the most robust and flexible solution that Microsoft's had in this space. And I wanted to kind of walk you through and show you a little bit of the virtualization capabilities that our teams have been working on. Just to end on, I think one of the things that we're really excited about is as we consolidate these systems, and then with Windows Server 2008, we also have power management turned on by default. The millions of systems that we'll support between Intel and Microsoft that are out there, we're going to dramatically reduce the power consumptions across the world, and that's really exciting to see as well. So,
thank you.
So, good.
That's wonderful.
Great.
And I look forward to this coming out next week.
Yeah, keep an eye out for it.
So. We will.
Great. Thank
All
you
right.
very much.
Thanks, Mike. I know server demos are always rough, but I thought since it's coming out next week, much awaited for, and Mike has been working very hard on the cross-platform elements to ensure that we can manage in a heterogeneous environment and reaching out and working with Xen as well as as the Linux crowd, I think that's an important piece of a change in the way that everybody is working today. So we wish Mike luck on his upcoming product launch, and we look forward to the alpha next week. All right. Now I want to talk about something that's kind of near and dear to my team's heart, and that's parallelism. Every roadmap that you saw that I won't repeat, it was about the cores and what we're adding to our roadmap over time, and the available cores for software performance, for application utilization. And I've talked about the university program, but what I'd like to talk about now is the very specific developer program around parallel computing and what we're doing. First of all, we of course have our software community site, which has a wealth of information, tools, sample code. We actually run live webinars where you can come and free training. As I said, we also host events in Second Life developer events. There is a knowledge base. There are live application engineers who can blog with you and answer your questions. You can actually even get a call back from an application engineer if you're having trouble threading your code. Much of what you're going to see on this site has come from developers like yourself giving us feedback on what you need to be able to take advantage of the roadmap that you've seen from Intel. But in addition to the site, it's not a roadmap, but I have worked in the Intel, my product line, the tools product line. We do have an amazing set of what I think are leading tools in the area of threading. And you know us for our compilers and our tuners and VTune, but you may not know about the thread analyzing tools or the thread building blocks or some of the cluster tools and even some of the performance libraries for threaded code that we have available. So I think it's worth taking a look if you're struggling, if you're even thinking about threading and how you might get engaged with it. Intel has a full set of tools, as I said, online resources as well as live resources. We are pulling out all the stops from a developer perspective to really get people engaged and moving. Quad core is not, you know, our biggest challenge, right? I mean, we have 8 cores coming and beyond, and that's something that's pretty important work for us to start now. In the sense that we think this is so monumental, and I told you we're training developers today, we have, in an unprecedented move, decided to open source one of the fundamental building blocks of threading, which is the threading library. We announced about 6 weeks ago that we open sourced Threading Building Blocks 2.0. This is cross-platform library. It works across Windows, Linux, Mac OS, Solaris, what have you. It has complete support. There's lots of documentation, books about how to use it. There's a community around it. But we decided that it was more important to move the development community forward on Intel's roadmap around threading than for us to keep it to ourselves. And I have to say that in all the years I've worked in software at Intel, almost 20, I didn't think we'd ever open source one of our tools. So this is a profound shift in our thinking about how to get people moving and working and engaging with us bidirectionally around Intel platforms. So let me show you what we've been doing in the ecosystem. We've been working for a while on threading. I mean, this is not new news, right? So this is a snapshot of ISVs who already are taking advantage of Intel quad core through their threading efforts in their products, their commercial products. And it's a short list. We have many, 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 many more. I wanted to just give you a snapshot of what's already out there. Of course, visual computing is one of the areas that takes direct advantage of parallelism. And without going into a lot of detail on that, because Justin is going to wow you with it, I would like to just take a minute to show you one of the things that we've been working on, an 8-core game. We haven't shown it before. It's running on a Skull Trail motherboard, which is an Intel to-be-released motherboard, with 2 Core 2.0 quad-core processors, 4 discrete graphics cards, 8 gigs of memory, our first ever 8-core gaming demo. So, gaming is a lot of fun. There's a lot more to it than just great graphics. There's significant other pieces, which I won't go into too much, but I do want to say This game uses the physics engine from the company that we acquired last week, and I'm happy to announce this morning the deal closed, and Havok is a wholly owned subsidiary of Intel. They're the world's leader in gaming physics, animation, and rendering. Behavior, and we're very excited about that. It's part of a bigger visual computing strategy that we have, and you're going to hear from us, from our developer team, from my team, more about SDKs around visual computing tools in the next year. So stay tuned for that. And I'm going to wrap up by talking a little bit about where we're going from here. So I said that communities are key. It is becoming deeply ingrained into my team, certainly, and we're spreading it to the rest of Intel. There's no turning back. This is a major change for us philosophically. We really are wanting to encourage you, and I can't say this enough, to really engage with us in a different way. Become part of our developer communities, give us feedback, tell us where we're not hitting the mark or giving you what you need as developers around all of this technology that you've heard and are learning about in these sessions in the last couple of days. That's why we're here. I encourage you to go to the inteldeveloper.com or intelsoftwarecommunity.com, and we look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
For PodTech.net, I'm Catherine Giraudeau in San Francisco.